Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, co-host of this show and also associate editor of Charisma Magazine. And today, we have a very special interview on the show. Joining us over the phone lines today is Pastor Derwin Gray. Pastor Derwin Gray is the founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church, a multi-ethnic and multi-generational church based in Indian Land, South Carolina. And he is also the author of a new upcoming book titled The Good Life, which will be available nationwide on June 2nd. Pastor Derwin is here to talk with us today about the coronavirus and the recent outbreaks associated with that, but more specifically, when we turn to Scripture, what our response should be, what the early church did in similar situations, and how the truth of Jesus about the Beatitudes can help guide us through this difficult season. It's a great interview, and I think you guys are going to enjoy the show quite a bit. So, we're going to go to a quick message from our sponsor, and when we come back, I'll be welcoming Pastor Derwin.
The New Believer's Bible has equipped over 10 million new Christians as they started their journey with Jesus. Now, a new edition of the New Believer's Bible includes revised and expanded notes and features to help new Christians read, study, and understand the Bible so they can deepen their faith and build a foundation for their new life in Christ. The New Believer's Bible is now even better. Discover more at newbelieversbible.com.
Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have joining me over the phone lines, Pastor Derwin Gray. Pastor Derwin, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you so much. It's such an honor and privilege to be with you and your listeners.
Oh, the honor is all mine. And I think that I think today's conversation is really going to bless our listeners, if nothing else, because getting to hear other people talk to you can sometimes be at a premium during the current quarantines and everything. So if at nothing else, we're refilling their social meter for today. But
we are indeed living in a unique time in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that how is that affecting you and your church? For listeners who may not be familiar, you are the founding and lead pastor of Transformation Church, which is in Indian Land, South Carolina.
Yeah, and Indian Land is right outside of Charlotte, and so yeah, we planted Transformation Church about 10 years ago, and my wife nor I had any type of church background. Jesus rescued us. We fell in love with him, and we wanted others to fall in love with him. And one of the things that we noticed in the early years of our faith, of following Jesus, is that the church was very fragmented and ethnically divided. And as we read the New Testament, we saw that Paul planted churches that were centered on Jesus, unified by the Spirit, made of Jews and Gentiles, so a multi-ethnic church. And so we decided to plant this church called Transformation Church to be an intentionally multi-ethnic, multi-class, multi-generational church shaped around the gospel of Christ. And the Lord has blessed us. We have been recognized for many years as one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. And God has just blessed us tremendously. And so what I would say is, in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, I think the first thing we need to do is take a step back, and we need to mourn. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The word blessed literally means happy. Happy are those who are sad, which is chapter 2 of my newest book, The Good Life. Happy are those who are sad because they will be comforted. There's something about lamenting and mourning that the world is not the way it should be. That as a result of the fall, the world is broken. And so even as Christians, we don't escape the effects of a broken world, but we never escape the effects of a God who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're more than a conqueror in him who loved you. And so therefore, as we mourn, we actually tap deeper into God's heart. And so we grow in faith in Christ. We grow in hope. Hope looks like an empty tomb. and we grow in love, love for people. So as we're mourning, we're actually moved to action to be the hands and feet of Christ in a desperately broken world. And so for our church, we have made a commitment from day one that if our community doesn't change because we exist, then we should pack up and leave. And so we have for 10 years fed children through our backpack ministry. And so our mobile food pantry is feeding about 325 families per week. Also, we are financially supporting our church plant in Madrid, Spain, called Icono. And our online viewership in 3 weeks has grown 5 times. We are 5 times larger now as a church than we were 3 weeks ago. So in the midst of this adversity is an incredible opportunity for the church to mourn with Jesus, but also be moved to action with Jesus. And another thing too, my wife and I were talking the other day, and her grandfather, his name was Elmer, his nickname was Jumbo. He was born in 1914. So think about what he experienced. So in 1914, there would have been the ramifications of World War I. He would have then experienced the Great Depression. He would have then experienced World War II, the Korean War, and all of the Gulf Wars, not to mention in 1918, the Spanish flu, which actually originated in America. The Spanish flu infected 500 million people in the world, and 50 million people died. So I raise that point for us as 21st century followers of Christ to take a step back and go, oh, wow, we're not the first generation that has experienced something traumatic. We mourn, but we also recognize that for such a time as this, Christ has left us here to be the body of Christ. And the greatest thing we can do now is to pray, to love and to serve, continue to be financially generous to our churches and organizations that feed the hungry, clothe the naked. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for doctors and nurses and pharmacists, the medical community. And it'll be our prayers that God uses to get us through this. But what's most important is not God getting us through COVID-19, but what is God doing in us during COVID-19?
Wow. That is really well said. And there are so many different threads I want to pick up on here. So that may just be our launch pad into everything else here. Now, one thing I want to hone in on, you mentioned that we're not the first generation to face a crisis like this. And in fact, it's something that you talk about in your book, that even the earliest church was known for the way that it responded to crises like this. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. So my book, The Good Life, What Jesus Teaches About Finding True Happiness, I finished a manuscript in October of 2019. And chapter 5 is entitled, Happy Are the Hungry. And so in that chapter, I talk about how when the early church, when I say early church, I mean second century, third century, when there were plagues or pandemics in the Greco-Roman world, something beautiful and courageous took place. So many of the Jewish people and many of the Gentile pagan Romans and Greeks, they would flee their cities because pandemics and plagues would wipe out everybody. But the people of the resurrection, the church, Jesus's community, instead of fleeing areas that were overtaken, they were actually ministering to people who were dying. They were staying to pray, staying to comfort. Sometimes God would supernaturally heal people through the Christians, and sometimes God would heal the Christians through the resurrection as they died with the people they were ministering to. And so what would happen after the pandemics, the Gentile pagans would say, well, the gods we follow, they didn't give us strength and courage like the God you follow. I want to know more about this Jesus of Nazareth who rose from the dead. And the same thing would take place from the Jews as well. And so chapter 5 of my book, The Good Life, I talk about that. And so it was rather prophetic and timely that I put that in the book, not knowing that we would be in the midst of a world pandemic when it would be released. And so in light of that, I told my publisher, let's make chapter 5 free for people to read, to encourage them, one, but also to equip them, two. And so if your listeners go to thegoodlifebook.net, thegoodlifebook.net, they can actually get chapter 5 for free.
That's fantastic. So yeah, if you guys want to learn more about that, definitely go check out thegoodlifebook.net because there's a lot more great stuff there. I'm curious then, from your perspective, what do you think that looks like today to have that same spirit as the early church?
Yeah, you know, so one is, if you're not in the medical community, say a doctor, a nurse, a pharmacist, an administrator, then, you know, you are shut in place. But let me talk to the believers who are in the medical world, who are first responders. You are literally being the hands and feet of Christ. And so I want to encourage you to continue to do the things to take care of your safety. But my goodness, in a world that is being turned upside down in fear and anxiety, you are the peace of Christ. You are the grace of Christ. And for those of us who say have to work from home, man, with social media now, you can pray for people, you can encourage people, you can still give generously to your local church and other organizations that are caring for the needy. And so there are ways for us to be able to engage. And so it's vital that we follow the CDC parameters and stay at home and flatten the curve, but there's so much that we can do now through all types of social media platforms. But for the first responders in the medical communities, you guys are on the front lines. For the rest of us, we're on the front lines as well, but we're doing it through prayer, through financial support, through ministering via phone calls, ministering via social media. You know, I would encourage people that COVID-19 has exposed a lot of our false gods. The American economy has been brought to its knees by a virus that's undetectable to the human eye. The world has been brought to its knees. And so our love for power and money and certainty and security is like a sandcastle that has just been wiped away by this wave called COVID. Now we can build our lives on the rock. And so what I try to do in my book, The Good Life, is I try to show people that Jesus desires for us to be happy, but the happiness that he desires for us is greater than happy feelings. It's about God conforming us to his image. And so when you look at the Beatitudes, when Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers. Like I said earlier, that word blessed, makurios, literally means happy. So the type of happiness that Jesus invites us into is a life of holiness. And as John Wesley said, holiness is simply a life of love. So Jesus is inviting us to experience the happiness of his kingdom so that he can spend his life in us and through us, showing glimpses of what that kingdom is like. And I think it, for such a time as this, when all of our sandcastles are just being wiped away, people are saying, all right, well, my 401k has just been destroyed. My investments have been destroyed. I've lost my job. It's been destroyed. I'm concerned for my health. All of my sandcastles are wiped away. How can I find the good life? What is the good life? And Jesus is like sitting on the Sermon on the Mount, looking over the Sea of Galilee, saying, I want you to come and I want you to sit down and let me invite you into the good life. Let me share my happiness with you so that my holiness can be expressed through you.
Man, if that isn't a word for our time today, and it really is amazing to me how, as you brought up, you wrote this back in October. You didn't know that this was all going to be so timely and so coming now. We were talking before the call that it was almost prophetic in that sense. For you, what was it then? Because obviously you didn't know the context it would come out in. What was it for you that drew you to wanting to write about the Beatitudes and the idea of happiness in the gospel?
Well, so back in 2015, so all of my preaching pours out and from the local congregation context, people I'm ministering to, things that are happening in my life. And so back in 2015, I just sensed that, man, there are a lot of people who are incredibly successful who are not happy. Their marriages are blowing up. They're miserable teenagers. They're living in incredible angst and anxiety. And I'm like, why is it that we're not happy? Like, we have so much, you know, life expectancy is longer. We just have so much. Why are we so empty? And so I began to study and I began to pray. And it was like hiding in plain sight when Jesus says blessed. And it's like, wait a second, blessed means happy. But it's not a happiness that's dependent on circumstances. It's a happiness that's contingent upon intimacy with God. It's not good things always happening to you. It's about God making you good. So in 2015, I preached a message and our congregation responded greatly. Then come to about 2018, I was presented with an opportunity to write The Good Life. And I was like, nah, I don't want to write a book. It takes too much. I'm not a good writer. And so my family and I, we were in Oslo, Norway on spring break for our son. And my wife and I, my daughter and my son, we were walking. And somehow my daughter and I, she was 22 at the time. We were walking side by side and I was explaining to her all the reasons why I didn't want to write a book and I shouldn't write a book and I can't write a book. And she stopped me and she said, Dad, you're writing this book for God. And if you're writing this book to God as a response to his love for you, those excuses don't matter. And I knew she was right. And so I began to write. And it's by far the best book that I've ever written. And it's amazing how out of the mouth of a babe, I get spurred on to write this book, which is The Good Life. And it has been an incredible time. There were times where I was writing and I could just sense that God was doing something sacred and beautiful that is going to change thousands upon thousands of lives because we're going to look at Jesus afresh. We're going to see Jesus anew. Because there's a lot of people who think, well, God doesn't want you to have any fun. Then there's people who go, well, God wants you to have fun. But the reality is God's kind of fun, God's kind of good life is him literally sharing his life with us and making us a people that reflect his kingdom. And his kingdom is filled with people who are humble in spirit. They are peacemakers. They're merciful. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They lament because things are sad. They are persecuted for his namesake. In other words, they are people who day by day through the Holy Spirit begin to reflect Jesus more and more and more. And so now we're set free. Typically, our happiness comes from, I got a raise. I got what I wanted. Now it's, I'm happy because of who I'm becoming, because of what Christ has done. And so that's why I wrote the book. And in October, when I was writing about the early church in chapter 5, I had no idea other than the Spirit of God told me to write about how the early church responded when pandemics took over the land. And it was prophetic. It was for such a time as this. And man, what better time to launch a book called The Good Life when everybody's lives are being jacked up?
Yeah. Well, for those listeners whose lives are being jacked up right now, Because obviously we talked before about those who are able to serve in healthcare and in medical on the front lines right now. But for those who are maybe stuck at home, maybe they may not have a job right now, or might be between things, or just are dealing with, you know, the grief and the hopelessness of the moment. What advice would you give them about finding true happiness in this season?
Yeah, this is the advice that I would give them. The first thing I would say is this: you're not stuck at home. God has granted you time to slow down and to marinate on what's important. So often we want to get out of things, and God so often wants to get something in us. So COVID-19 is going to come to an end. We're going to get through it. People are going to get their jobs back. The economy is going to get back going. But my question is, when that happens, how different will we be? And will we forget our need that we have for Jesus? So my prayer, the first thing is change perspective. You're not stuck at home. You have the privilege to be at home, to be with your family, to be with the Lord, to recalibrate, to visit Jesus reafresh. And then secondly, what I would say for those of us who have lost jobs and you follow Jesus, Matthew 6:33 is still true. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32, Jesus says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to drink, because life is more than eating and drinking and clothes. Now, obviously, we need to eat, we need to drink, and we need clothes. But what is Jesus saying? He's saying a preeminence is seek first my kingdom. We have a good Father who's going to provide for our needs, not our greeds. He's going to provide for our needs. And here's the beauty of Jesus's logic of grace. When he says, don't worry about what you eat, he also says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. When he says, don't worry about what you're going to drink, he says in John 4:10, I am the living water. And when he says, don't worry about what you're going to wear, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:27 says, we are clothed with Christ. In other words, as we seek God because his grace first sought us, Jesus is our bread. Jesus is our living water. Jesus is the clothes. In other words, Jesus transforms us to be a Jesus Christ lookalike through his life. That's where our hope is ultimately found. What I like to say at Transformation Church is this: love looks like a cross. If you ever doubt his love, look to the cross, because it looks like a cross. If you ever doubt hope, hope looks like an empty tomb. What does that mean? It means that what happened to Jesus is going to happen to us, and what happened to Jesus lives in us now. So God may not provide all of our desires, but he certainly will provide our needs. And perhaps in this time of silence, in this time of being still, we can do what the psalmist says: be still and know that I am God.
Very well said, Pastor. If people want to pick up a copy of The Good Life, they can go to thegoodlifebook.net, right? Anywhere else they should go?
Yes. Yep, that is thegoodlifebook.net. I would love for you guys to go and get chapter 5 for free, thegoodlifebook.net. There are study questions and reflection questions at the end of every chapter. We also have a Bible study. We really desire, my heart's desire is I want to see people experience Jesus afresh. Because when we see him for all that he is, when we see his beauty, his grace, and I've written a book, like we're sitting down and we're overlooking the Sea of Galilee and we're having a conversation, that we are two fellow travelers wanting to follow Jesus, to hear from him, to visit with him, because he is the good life and he wants to share his good life with us.
Fantastic. And if people enjoyed hearing from you today, where can they find you on social media?
Okay, you can go to at Derwin L. Gray. That's at Derwin L. Gray. That's my Twitter. That's my Instagram and my Facebook page. And if you want to listen to sermons, just go to transformationchurch.tc. Transformationchurch.tc.
Well, Pastor, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show today to talk with you. I know that this is this conversation has really just been great for me, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same way. So thank you again.
Hey, thank you so much. And I would love to do this again. God bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.